We're back on the air. We're out of recess, and we are going to be having a discussion with a broker of record regarding insurance for HR director. If you two will identify yourselves for the public that is listening and also note that we're being recorded, then we'll move forward.
My name is Jamie Wachmeyer with Employee Benefit Design.
I'm Linda Sorensen, Human Resources Director for Taney County.
And Linda, if you'd like to start us off, we'll get to where we're headed and discuss whatever it is that we need to discuss
okay.
this morning.
Jamie and I have been working for quite a long time. She's done all the work, and I've done all the listening. And she has some very good news for us in regards to our health insurance. And she has some changes, I think, that she may offer as far as dental goes. But she will present all that to you.
Oh, okay. And that would be the red packet that we have?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Jamie?
All right. So as I summarized in the packet of information that you have, you're currently with Cox Health Plans. Last year, when you signed the agreement to move to Cox Health Plans, you were guaranteed no more than a 7% rate increase and an additional 2% possibly for taxes. Those are new health care reform taxes. We got a initial proposal from Cox Health Plans that was 4% increase for your claims and 4% for taxes. And we went back to them and were able to get the claims experience down to a rate hold, but then there is the additional 2% increase for taxes. So the proposal that you have from Cox is a 2% increase over current, which medical trend right now is about 11%. So it's a 2% increase. It includes another year of the wellness at no charge. That means your on-site health risk assessments and the on-site training programs that we've been able to do with Cox. And it also includes the dividend earned premium rider that we did for this year. And what that means is at the end of the year, in about February, March timeframe, Cox is going to evaluate your total claims experience, which right now is running very well. At that point, if there is any money that is due back to you, you will receive a refund of premium for overpayment based on your claims experience. Usually they charge extra to have a program like that in place. They included it last year, and they're going to include it for 2014 as well.
And we are getting a refund, are we?
We don't know yet. Until 2013, once the plan year ends, they give it a couple months for run-out claims to make sure there's no additional claims that need to be processed, and then they'll calculate the amount of the refund if one is due to you.
Just to recap, and you correct me if I'm wrong, we made the decision to enter into a two-year agreement with Cox. We had a guaranteed amount of increase that we would see up to
worst case scenario. Yes.
And after intervention and work on your part, the employee benefits design, our actual increase is zero with the exception of the 2% that is being charged because of the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yes, that's correct.
And let me note that when you take that into consideration with some others, and I know that it's based upon experience, but counties that are very near us that are involved with the same health plan, they're seeing a 10% increase. They're seeing a 12% increase. These are different counties that I have chatted with. So I am extremely pleased with what's happened and with your work through employee benefit design to make sure that this has happened. In other words, to speak on our behalf to assure that this has happened. Obviously, this has proved to have been a great decision last year when the county entered into this agreement. Brandon, Danny? One question I have. Some counties are noting that they're experiencing a 2.5%, 3% or higher that they have laid at the feet of the Affordable Health Care Act. Wouldn't that be the same for all counties?
Everything is different. You know, there are certain taxes that are the same for everybody. One of those taxes being the PCORI fee, the patient-centered outcome research fee. Okay, now that fee is the same for everybody, and that was, $1 per employee for last year, and that's built into your premiums. There's a new one this year called the transitional reinsurance fee, and so that's built into it. And so those are fees that everybody's going to pay. Those are ones that are consistent across the board that all counties are going to pay, all employers are going to pay, whether you're self-funded or fully insured. The taxes are different. The taxes that are being calculated are assessed per insurance company. So those additional taxes, a carrier like UnitedHealthcare or Anthem Blue Cross, one of the more large major national carriers, they have higher taxes than the smaller regional carriers like a Cox Health Plans. So those taxation amounts are being issued to them and told to them by the government as to here's what your taxation's going to be. And so there are some of them that we see. Like I said, we've got yours at a 2% because we got that rate cap. Cox is actually averaging closer to 4%, but because we agreed to that last year in our contracting, they didn't go above 2. Other carriers are running closer to 5.5%. So it just really depends on the carrier. But there are a lot of things that are being attributed. You guys have to remember also for 2014, part of this calculation and where others are seeing the rate increases because of healthcare reform include no more pre-existing conditions, some of the changes to what has to be covered, the out-of-pocket limits, some different things that are impacting healthcare, pediatric dental, pediatric vision, things that have to be included in your plan that didn't have to be before. So, again, that's another reason why I'm glad. I think it's a good thing that we were able to get the rates we were, because there's a lot going on with healthcare reform that is impacting rates significantly.
Well, you know, after chatting with a number of other counties, the associations that we sent in, I don't think there's anyone that's fared any better than Taney County has in our second year with this company. So I'm very excited about basically a 0% increase in health care, with the exception of the Affordable Health Care Act. Would you like to move on to comments regarding dental?
And we can talk about dental. I would say on the documents that I did give to you, there will be some signatures required if you accept the renewal that is being offered by Cox Health Plans. And then there would be a signature required if you wanted to continue that second year in the dividend earned premium rider. And that's where you could possibly benefit if you have a good claims year. So we'll need signatures on those. And then we'll be done with that on the medical side of things. And then on the dental plan, you'll see what we've got there presented to you. You are currently with Dearborn National. We moved, Taney County had been with Delta Dental, and we then moved you from Delta Dental to Anthem Dental to coincide with your medical plan in 2012. In 2013, we moved your dental to Dearborn National, where your life insurance, your disability, everything is all with one carrier. Okay. Dearborn National has come in with a proposal for you that is 5% over current rates. You can see that there. So essentially, for single coverage, the difference is $1.50 a month. You know, when you talk percentages on the dental plan, the actual impact dollar-wise is much smaller, clearly, than it would be on the medical plan. Originally, Fort Dearborn started at a 15% increase, and we were able, by marketing your benefits and getting rates from other carriers, to get Fort Dearborn to reduce their rate, again, in the interest of being able to keep everything bundled together. We have quotes. The most competitive ones are from Assurant and MetLife. Assurant is 2% below current with the same plan design that you currently have, and MetLife is essentially a rate hold. And those both include a second-year 7% rate cap, similar to what we did with Cox this year, that just says next year, if you have high dental claims, when you get your increase from them, it will be no more than 7%.
Which would be an option that we could either accept or not accept.
Right. Same as this year. Same as we did with Cox.
Is that with both Assurant and MetLife?
Both Assurant and MetLife offered that. Now, Dearborn didn't offer that, but when you look at their renewal being a 5%, again, it's a very small amount, actually, when you look at it incrementally. And it keeps, again, gives you 2 years with one carrier. I went through the history of you guys were with Delta and then Anthem and then Dearborn to show you that you've had three carriers in the last 3 years, and it may be beneficial to continue, if that increase is acceptable, to continue one more year with Dearborn where you're not transitioning to another carrier and you've got everything bundled. Because next year we will market your life insurance, your disability insurance, because they come off of a rate hold at that time. And there have been some changes with Dearborn in the marketplace that they're not coming in as competitively. So next year we will likely look at moving those benefits. And so it's something that we could either move the dental now or look to do it next year when we do everything else.
Due to the 2 year that they have offered us both MetLife and Assurance, that seems like a good option as well to me.
Say that again, Linda.
Assurance or MetLife, which I had had both carriers for dental before and they are good, is offering that 2 year plan like Cox did. And that almost seems like a pretty good idea to me to move.
Well, Met is at the same rate as what basically is what we are currently paying.
Essentially.
Assurant is 2% less. Am I reading it right?
Yes, you're reading that correctly. And those are both wonderful carriers that offer life and disability as well. So when we look next year to market the life and disability, those would be two carriers that would likely come in very competitive on your life and disability. So there is still the opportunity to next year sync things back up if it makes sense with those carriers.
I was just thinking of that 2 year.
The second year 7% rate
yes.
cap. Yeah, it's pretty good on dental. You guys have very good dental rates, very competitive dental rates, especially for the marketplace. And with dental, a lot of times you're going to see a 15% or a 10% come in on your increase, just like Dearborn started. And so this is just stating that they'll come in with no more than 7% next year.
But then you do have the changing carriers and getting the applications all filled out and everything. So it's
on a different chair, Linda. Guide me through where your totals come from.
Right. The totals come from the number that you currently have enrolled in each one of the categories, so employee only, employee spouse, employee children and family, multiplied by that rate, and that gives you the total premium each month. Now, the county currently funds the dental at the employee-only level. And so when you look at that, the actual impact to the county, while you look at these and it may seem that the rates are essentially the same or overall the total premium is either a rate holder or 2%, it's actually going to save the county money moving to either Assurant or MetLife because you fund based on the single level. And then the employees pick up the difference on the other tiers.
So the Dearborn is just the dental?
The Dearborn, currently you have all of your life insurance and disability insurance with Dearborn.
Right, but the change that we would...
The change would be just the dental. We're not looking to change the life or disability this year because you had a 2 year rate guarantee on all of those lines of coverage. And so we didn't market those.
Does that... this may be kind of a strange question for... But does that affect the relationship that you have with the company when they go to refiguring your rates for next year?
Well, I will tell you that with Dearborn, we will likely be marketing and moving away from Dearborn next year. And the reason I say that is because Dearborn has gone through some changes, quite honestly. They've reduced their sales staff. They've reduced their support staff. and they're not quite as competitive in the marketplace. We've seen this happen before with other smaller carriers that, you know, nothing for you guys to worry about if Dearborn were to be purchased by someone else. Your life insurance, your rates, your guarantees would all stay in place. But we anticipate some changes to be happening with Dearborn in the future. So it's something that I do anticipate next year, possibly having to move anyway away from them. So
it would be all right to go ahead and move the dental one with no repercussions.
There would be no repercussions for moving the dental. Right. Nothing would impact your life and disability. It would just be a matter of, at the open enrollment meetings, which we've scheduled already, educating the employees that you're moving dental carriers. Right now, if you move to Assurant or MetLife, they both have more dental providers. Obviously not in Forsyth and Branson. We all know that's a very difficult dental market. But in the Springfield area, if people were traveling up there for their major services, there are more providers with either Assurant or MetLife than there are with Dearborn. We just have to get new applications and get them enrolled and make sure the payroll changes and things are done.
That's my main concern is the, you could call it the habit or the change to
traditional
change for the staff.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the, you know, economic impact to us,
well, if I'm figuring this right, it'll save the county if we move from Dearborn to Assurant by over $5,500.
Well, the county funds on the single level, so essentially it's 75 cents shares, right around 70 cents cheaper, so times 233 employees.
Yeah, the renewal's at $31.98, correct?
Sure, that's true.
Compared to $29.84?
Yeah, if you look at those two numbers, yeah. If you look at the renewal versus...
So we're looking at more than $2
when you
per employee,
renewal,
and there's 233 employees, which adds up to over $5,500 on an annual basis. For me, that's a substantial savings.
Amount.
Plus, it's saving the employees that are adding their spouse or their children or their entire family a considerable amount of money on an annual basis. And we're locked in with the maximum 7% increase for 2015. I think it's the way to go.
I would tend to agree with that.
Do you need a motion for the change to Assurant?
Yes. Based upon when it comes renewal time, right? Would that be first of the year?
It would be first of 2015.
14.
Well, 14 would be when the change to Assurant would occur if we were moving that for the dental for this coming up year. And then this rate cap that we're talking about and considering life and disability would be in 2015.
But for dental only?
Dental only.
That's the only change we're
considering. That's the only one we're considering today.
We're considering today.
And I'm going to make that motion that we change to Assurant.
What costs are involved in the changing, you know, bringing all the employees in, having to fill out the paperwork?
Well, Brandon, we're going to bring, every year we do a health fair, like a benefits fair, and open enrollment meetings regardless.
It would be done during that.
So you would be having the meetings regardless. Either I'm going to stand up and say, nothing has changed, here's your new rates with Dearborn if you want to make a change about this application. Or I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, we're moving your dental to Assurant. Here are your reduced rates. And we need everybody to fill out an application with which dental plan they would like to take. So minimum impact, the biggest thing will be getting the applications collected to make sure we have copies of each of them, and then you know, getting that turned into Assurant. But other than that, there's no.
And then how many, you said it's the dental market here is, how many of the Branson, Forsyth, Hollister dentists are with Dearborn and how many are with Assurant?
Well, here's the thing. In Forsyth, Branson, this market, this area, there are essentially no dentists in either networks. I mean, it's very difficult to find dentists in the Branson and Forsyth network, period. And that's why we've designed your plan. If you look at this, preventive care is 100% in or out of network. Basic is 80% in or out. And major is 50% in or out. Typically in the Springfield market, that would be 90% in network for basic services, 80% out of network. 60% in network for major services, 50% out of network or 80, 70, 50. We would design it where it was incentivizing your employees and a better benefit to go in-network, like we do with your medical plan. We cannot do that on dental plans in this market because the Forsyth and Branson dentist know they have a captive audience and they don't participate in dental networks. So that's why we've designed it that way. So, Brandon, it's something we've educated your employees in the past and we'll continue to educate them that if you have a major service, something that you need to get done, let's say a root canal or a crown, something that's going to be very expensive, we do recommend possibly going up to Springfield and go to an in-network provider where you can get a much better discounted rate. It doesn't change the coverage level, but it changes the discounts that you'll receive when you get the work done. And when you do that with Assurant or MetLife, they both have very large dental networks. MetLife currently insures the Mercy Hospital System, and so they have a great dental network, and Assurant actually has more providers than MetLife does.
Typically, Brandon, what most dentists do is they will do what's usual and customary, even though they aren't a provider. And that's what we need to make sure our employees always ask them, will you do what's usual and customary? My dentist in town here, he's not a provider for anybody, but I never pay a penny to him for my regular checkups.
Because there is something when you go to an out-of-network dentist like her provider where the dentist can charge you. They can charge you. Let's say something is a $100 service. You know, the usual and customary is $100. They could charge you $120. Well, the dental carrier is going to say, well, $100 of that is what we're going to cover because that's usual and customary. And then your dentist, that extra $20, they can either write it off like her dentist does, or they can do what's called balance billing, where they send you a bill for $20. We educate your employees on that. It's come up several times over the last couple of years. There are some dentists locally that charge for some fancy services and imaging that we've had conversations to educate your employees that they need to ask those questions and be sure what services they're getting before they get them.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to move our dental coverage and options from Dearborn to Assurant. Discussion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Do we also need a motion on the 2014 renewal with Cox Health Plans, or we just accept it and move forward?
I don't know the way you guys have to do things, but we don't have to market your medical plan for, you know, 3 years. So as far as having a motion or a formal proposal and things like that, I don't know that that's necessary. I think you just sign and accept the renewal.
What you do?
I would like to do that so that all employees that ask all the questions would know that it comes through the record on the minutes and everything that we have stayed with our Cox plan. I'm going to make that motion that the renewal be with the current insurance company, with the Cox plan. There's been a lot of questions by Road and Bridge, by other people about how our insurance is, whether we're staying or whether we're moving or...
Motion's been made and seconded that Tane County stay with the Cox Health Systems insurance that's been provided through 2014. Discussion?
That is with the plan that has been put before us with no increase in the 2% increase on the taxes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. You had some things that you wanted me to sign at this time, or?
Yeah, copies with them.
Would you come up and guide me through what it is that we need?
This document here is the given insurance premium rider. This states that At the end of the plan year, Cox will reevaluate your claims experience and any excess premium you've paid. They will keep 22% of the earned premium for additional claims, anything that may come up, and also their admin fees. Anything in excess of that, you'll split 50-50 between Cox and yourself. So you'll sign here and put your time up there. This document is your renewal offer from Cox Health Plans. It shows that you are going to make no changes to your current plan design except those that are required by health care reform, such as elimination of pre-existing conditions. You will mark this box here that that's the current plan, and that's the one you would like to renew. Then you will sign and date it here. I can fill out the company name and contact information. And I will make sure that we get copies of these for your records as well.
Linda, when you do that, would you get a copy for our office as well as for the county clerk's record?
Certainly. I would like to mention that our open enrollment is going to be on December 10th, and it will be in the commission hearing room. And we'll send out times. We'll have three meetings like we have in the past, and we'll send out the times just right now.
Are you going to forward any information regarding the new dental option that we've selected for us to sign, or?
Yes, there will be contracts that will need to be signed with Assurant that will state that you are moving to Assurant, the standard contracts that are required for any health insurance or dental insurance carrier. I will also be sending over a termination letter for Dearborn National Dental Insurance that will need to be signed as well.
Jamie, thank you so much. And Linda,
mm-hmm.
We appreciate you. You will be safe going home?
I will be safe going home.
No more accidents.
If you want, just...
Since we're on the record, I was not in any accidents. Say that.
If you want, maybe you can just follow Beth here, who's with the transportation department. She's here to chat with you.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, very much. Beth, if you'd like to join us. Good morning. How are you today?
I am fine. I'm almost afraid to ask which accident we were referring to with your previous guest.
She came down from Springfield, and she saw four or five different accidents.
I
jokingly said,
F
you caused how many?
Yeah. I came across on F, and they had just had an accident on Bull Creek Bridge, so... And we had it salted and sanded. You went across it, and there was some material all across it, but they still had a wreck. So,
Having not been outside for a while, what's it doing right now?
Well, it's coming down as rain here, a really, really light kind of misty rain, and then it freezes on contact. And I came through Barry County, and we actually had probably a quarter inch of just frozen ice pellets. The whole entire road was completely covered.
You came across 76?
No, I actually come down through the Crane area, so from Monette through Crane and then through that way, through Galena. But it was covered up until about Crane, and then it just was freezing on the windshield and on my wipers and the car. I had to actually pry the car door open when I stopped here, so so it's been an interesting morning. So
Quick, I was driving on the way over here. It was just... rain and mist, and then all of a sudden my windshield just froze over with my heater on. And
yeah, I had to stop and clean the wipers off several times, even with the heat going full blast, so it's pretty nasty this morning. But they were out treating the bridges. I can give testimony to that. I went across Tier 3, and you could see the treatment they had put on. So, and the roads are clear in Taney County. At least looked clear from the spot where I came from Stone across, and Eastern Stone was a little bit covered, and then Barry County was you know, the east or western half of Berry County was completely covered. So, and it was coming down quick when I left work this or left the Monette building this morning at 7:30. So, a couple of things, as you all are perfectly aware, we've finished up the construction season for this year. The last few jobs that we had all happened to be in the kind of in the Taney County, Stone County area. So the month of October was pretty busy. We had the 160 and 176 overlays, obviously with the shouldering and the two-foot rumbles, or the two-foot shoulders with the rumbles. The 165, 265, same there where we could fit the rumbles on the 265 portion. There's rumbles been added there. We also did 76 between Reed Spring and Cape Fair, which is obviously over in Stone County. And then we did 86 across, I think, probably a little bit of Stone and Taney County there, from 13 all the way across to 65. And what we did there was just add some materials so we could get those rumbles in. I don't know if you've driven that or not, but it looks a little strange because we already had some material that maintenance had put in the past because of people running off the road. They had already added a couple of foot of asphalt, and so we just had the contractor add asphalt where we needed it, and then they came through and rumbled it. So we've got some dark and light shoulder material there that looks a little strange, but the rumbles were what we were trying to achieve, and we did that. So we had to do all the striping ourselves. That's kind of how we bid out these projects anymore, is we do a lot of the striping. The contractor may do a lot of the hand marking, which is the arrows and the stop bars and things like that, but we usually do the linear striping. And so that was a challenge because they pushed their construction out towards the end of the month, and then we had rain and cold in November. So, but we did get all the striping down too. So, but that was a little bit of a challenge. Some of the things that we've got coming up, excuse me, let me turn my phone off. Some of the things that we've got coming up, not a whole lot in this area. A lot of the work that we've done has been in the last 2 years in this area, 2 to 3 years. We do have an overlay on 76 coming up next year. That will be all the way from Branson West over to Highway 65 in Branson. I believe that will include some shouldering or some rumbles in some areas if we need them or we can fit them in. There wouldn't be very many areas where that would actually occur because we know we've got that three-lane section coming out of Branson West, and then we've got four lanes, but we've got a little section, I believe, between 465 and Branson. So there may be some shouldering and rumbles there. We're also addressing, and that will just be inside the Stone County area, but we're addressing an issue that affects a lot of people, and that's the there's a set of S curves between the high road 465 and 265, the first signal. That area just seemed to give people fits. We had a lot of accidents in that location. We've worked to get right-of-way donated by the Hershens, and we are making that into just one big curve from 465 to 265. Will just be kind of a sweeping curve. It'll be four-lane up to that signal at 265, so it should make it safer, and it should make it a little more efficient, too, through that area. So,
Tell me again, because part of that's going to be where the current road is, right?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be picking up just west of the signalized ramps and realigning all the way up to the signal at 265, and it's going to be kind of a great big sweeping curve when they get done. It may be a slight S, I'm not sure, but it'll all tie in just kind of one big sweeping motion instead of those nasty little kind of hairpin curves mm-hmm. that come through there now. So it should be a really good improvement. I told you I would update you on the Bull Shoals Bridge, the 76 Bridge.
Yes.
Right now, we're probably just kind of in a holding pattern. The project delivery team that has been assigned that project, they did look at this a couple of months ago because they were looking at projects that we might be able to accelerate. We had some savings come back from some projects that bid lower than what we had anticipated. And we had some savings come back from properties and equipment that we had sold because of the five-year plan that we have for, you know, when we went from 10 to 7 districts, Our plan was to save about $500 million, $500 to $600 million. Some of that money is coming back to the districts, and so we had a little bit of money coming up in some very near fiscal years. But when they looked at that project, because of the constraints and the complications, I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to accelerate it. So basically they kind of picked it up, we've looked at it, and they've just put it back on hold to try to address projects that are going to be coming up in the next two fiscal years. But I would assume they're going to pick it back up again here in the next year or so. But we've got to keep our designers focused on what's coming up in the next 2 to 3 years, and so it'll be in a holding pattern again probably for a few months, maybe till the next design cycle, which usually kind of starts in the fall. So the reason, and it's pretty obvious, if we move the bridge either, you know, east or west of where it is now, you've got impacts to core property, you've got impacts to park property. It's not something that's going to be a simple fix. So there wasn't really any way to accelerate that project. So feedback I've gotten on 160, we've had good and bad feedback. I'm assuming that the majority of people are happy, because normally we don't get much feedback from the happy people. It seems to flow very smoothly. I have had a few concerns brought up, and our traffic people have been looking at a couple of the intersections. They're at F and 160. Of course, we've got some locals that are not happy because their life changed. That's what it comes down to, is that there was change. We have some truck drivers, which had a very valid point. If you're trying to turn left, we have a very small left turn lane.
Turn left from?
From the F-160 junction to go back towards
65.
Thank you, yes. Or, I'm sorry, the little... Thank you, Walnut Shade. I apologize. It just left me there. If you're trying to turn left to go back to Walnut Shade,
right,
it's a very small turn lane, very short. So that's a little bit of a challenge. And then people that are on 160 going westbound, we've also had concerns from truckers that when they make that right-hand turn, that we've got a little island there,
right,
and they're afraid they're going to be driving over it. But it is a low-profile island. I mean, it wasn't, you don't want people driving over it all the time, but it was made to be mountable, so it's not going to be destroyed or going to hurt somebody's tires or anything.
Was the intent of putting that island there to slow people down?
Yes, yes. And that's some of the negative feedback we got, was people want to hit it at 60 miles an hour still, like they always did. And the intent was to try to slow them down, so they put some thought into that intersection, because you could possibly have somebody turning left, setting in that left turn lane. And if you hit that at full speed and they decide to go left while you're going right, that could be bad. So we want people to put a little thought into it and kind of slow down. But other than that, I think we're in pretty good shape there. And then at the junction of H and 160, I don't know if you've driven that or not, but the visual...
I've had more calls there than on the other.
Okay. What kind of calls have you gotten?
That the people that are coming, that are heading north, as they come to H Highway, of course, used to, you went straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And now as you get there, you veer a little bit left before you make the turn, and it's not clear enough. I see that the state has gone ahead and put pylons in to try to not.
And we're gonna actually put there, I think, either object markers or chevrons. I think the traffic people told me we're actually gonna put chevrons, because that curve is considered to be enough of a curve that we could put chevrons up anyway, and that will actually help delineate that area. But, yeah, it's kind of a weird...
Until you get on top of it, you don't know that there's no road there.
Exactly. I drove it the other day, and I was like, oh, this is kind of strange, because you don't know whether you do or you don't have a right turn lane. You can't really see it. So that's a little bit of a challenge.
I remarked after the second day that it was there, somebody's going to be through there, and then I saw sets of tracks from somebody before you put those big pylons on.
Yeah, we're going to put some permanent siding up there to help delineate that. And then I know our traffic people have also observed that, you know, the lumber yard is right there, and they thought that the trucks turning left into there were having a little bit of an issue. If traffic was at the stop bar on H, if the traffic was at the stop bar and those trucks are trying to turn left, it's a pretty tight, mm-hmm, tight radius for them to make. So sometimes when we do these, you know, we have 95% of the people, it serves them better, and 5% we're going to impact more. And that's unfortunate.
Well, prior to your changes, then, people were crossing in front of one another.
I mean, and that's what we, that's why we did it, because there was mass confusion out there, and we had weird wrecks. We had, you know, people that thought they had the right-of-way, and they'd be out in the middle, and we had all kinds of weird traffic maneuvers out there because people just really didn't know where they needed to be. So, and I think other than that, and I have had some concerns from our own people who will be pushing a snowplow, that the Casey Road intersection is very tight by the way we've striped the left turn lane. They've had some concerns there. So we've taken a look at that. I don't really think we can make any changes there. We're pretty restricted. Like I said, there at H, we're going to put some signing in and do a few changes there. Possibly at F, I may talk to maintenance and see if we can't add just a little bit of asphalt over for those left-turning trucks that are turning back towards Walnut Shade to make sure they don't off-track, because it is so tight that for them to try to avoid traffic that's stopped at the stop bar, they have to swing real wide. And we don't have enough asphalt for them to really do that. So I think I may talk to maintenance about trying to put a little bit of a shoulder in there. You know, you try to design these things, you do it on paper, you do it on the computer, and then you get out there in the field, and people will drive it like they drive it. But some of it just needs to be tweaked, and we'll get it done. The other thing I want to talk to you guys about real briefly was we do have our long-range plan out. I think I had talked to you this spring and summer about the fact that we were putting that together. The draft plan is out. The commission approved it last month. We have a 45-day required public period for comment, but our real goal is to make sure that we encourage people as much as possible to go look at the draft plan and let us know if we got it right, and that's our big thing. We've launched this, and so now we're coming back to Missourians, and we're trying to make sure we're going in the right direction. What we saw was there were four main areas of emphasis. We had over 1,200 written recommendations and comments. Some of those were just local, you know, fix 160 and F, and some of those were more a regional or even a statewide, you know, just address safety issues or put shoulders on all roads, you know, that type of thing. So we had over 12,000 comments, written comments that we put together, and we tried to group them by the type of a project that they were emphasized or interested in. And those went mainly from maintaining the system. There was a whole lot of emphasis on we like what we've got. We like the condition it's in right now. Make sure that you keep the funding levels to that. You know, make sure you direct your funding towards making sure that everything stays in good shape. The second was, you know, if you can possibly do it, we want to see safety improvements. And I hear that a lot. Obviously, I get a lot of calls on the safety issues. That's the one that always touches home with people and gets them to, moves them to action. So the other was safety. The third was economic development. Anytime we can put in a road project that will also you know, help the economy and promote progress and growth within a area, we've been told that that's very important. And then fourthly was other modes of transportation. We want to see interconnection between trails and sidewalks and bike lanes. And in the more urban areas, the transit, the light rail, in port areas, they're wanting to see more connections between rail, trucking opportunities with roadways, and then the ports. In this area, we had comments back on, like, the aging population is very interested in some type of transit or, you know, some type of almost like a cab service, something that will get them to and from the grocery store and the doctor, and be able to age in place, basically, is what I would call it. And you're going to see more and more of that, obviously. My parents live on a farm, and I know that if they have their choice, if they have to give up driving, they definitely won't want to have to give up where they live. So we've got a big emphasis, I think, in the rural areas on some form of transit that they can use. So those are the four things we heard. And then we've been encouraging everybody The website, and it's been in existence since spring, but we've updated it with all the new stuff, is MissouriOnTheMove.org. And that's where you can go and make comments on the plan, if we got it right, what you, if you agree or not with what's in the plan. So.
MissouriOnTheMove.org.
MissouriOnTheMove.org. And, of course, you can always talk to us or call the office or all that good stuff. And other than that, we're gearing up for, obviously, for the snow season. I would prefer if it held off a little bit longer, personally. But
January.
Yeah. Or maybe just like a week in February.
Even better.
Would be just fine with me.
Danny, Brandon, questions, comments?
Are you taking it easy on me today?
Is it Danny?
I'm letting,
okay,
letting you go today. I'm not going to. Okay. I'm going to be the nice guy today.
All right. Well, we're having discussions with Stone County over some sections of Route 13 that they agreed to take possession of whenever we did the new route down there at, between Branson West and Kimberling City. So they're making up for you. So.
Yeah. Discussion, is that what you call it? Discussion.
Yeah, we already have an agreement that, and I agree with them totally. I gave them the display that shows the location of the route in question. And I think sometimes we don't think in terms of you know, what we put on paper and then what you're going to go out in the field and see. So I've got to meet with them and go over what we actually have out in the field. So
thank you very much for
thank
your
you.
Report.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for braving it to get here.
I apologize for being late, but, man, it wasn't just me going slow. Everybody in front of me was, too, so we were trying to be careful.
Gentlemen, I would accept a motion to go into executive session, which we have scheduled for upstairs with counsel. And then we'll go ahead.
Move to go into executive session for section 610.021, subsection 1, 2, 3, and 12.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to move into executive session pursuant to section 610.021, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Brandon, aye.
Ron, aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. We will stand in recess till we get upstairs to meet with counsel.